I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Almighty and ever-gracious God, yours is the voice we desperately need to hear this day. So open our ears, quiet our minds and our hearts, enable us to see and understand. May your word be clearly heard in the midst of my words. Amen. Of this I am certain. There is no shortage of voices in our world. Everyone seems to have an opinion, a perspective, a message to share, and share they do. On television, YouTube, in Facebook posts, Twitter tweets, blogs, Instagram stories, and editorials. The question is, how do we discern where the truth lies? Which voices should we be listening to? Which voices should we ignore? Which voices must we be compelled to challenge? And how do we discern which is which? How do we use our God-given voices to speak what needs to be spoken? And how do we respond to those who have no voices? All three of these issues are important. All of these matter. And because they do, I want to invite you to look with me at today's scripture readings to see what they have to say, both about the voices worth listening to and the importance of using our God-given voice well. In our Hebrew scripture lesson for today from Genesis chapter 1, we encounter a God whose voice is used to create the world and everything in it. A powerful voice, a life-giving voice, a voice intent upon creating beauty, joy, hope, and awe. In the psalm designated for today, Psalm 29, we are reminded yet again of the power of God's voice, a voice that must be taken seriously, never blown off, never ignored. And then in our gospel lesson from Mark, God's voice is heard. As Jesus comes up out of the muddy waters of the Jordan River after his baptism, and here's where I want us to focus our attention, on this voice and this story. But to do so, a little background on the Gospel of Mark, where we find this account. You may already know that Mark's Gospel is the earliest and shortest of the Gospels, and it does not include the beloved story of Jesus' birth that has captured our attention for the past many weeks. In the words of Lutheran pastor Mary Anderson, in the no-nonsense Gospel of Mark, there is no birth story to woo us into the good news. Mark begins with a full-grown Jesus meeting the grimy baptizer at the Jordan and going under the water in solidarity with those he came to save. You know, in some respects, this really is Mark's Christmas story. If we understand the story of Christmas to be one of God giving us the gift of salvation. Mark begins with the words of the prophet Isaiah, then introduces us to John the Baptist, fully grown, carrying out his God-ordained mission to pave the way for Jesus, and portrays John as one who clearly understood his role and clearly understood that his baptism was a baptism with water, but Jesus' baptism would be a baptism with the Holy Spirit. These words come next. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Mind you, we're still in chapter 1 of Mark. This is only verse 9, and Jesus is being baptized in the Jordan. Talk about cutting to the chase. John's words calling people to repent, To change their way, the direction of their lives, were just as important, if not more important, than the act of baptizing that followed those words. Jesus' baptism matters, and we know that because it appears in 3 of the 4 Gospels, but each account is just a little bit different. For example, in Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism, we get the sense that John is reluctant, hesitant to baptize Jesus. In fact, he even says to him, "I need to be baptized by you." In Luke's account, Jesus' baptism is mentioned almost as an afterthought. We read these words, "Now when all the people were baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying," and then we hear about the message from on high. Personally, I like Mark's account best. It's dramatic. It's concrete and tangible. We have this wonderful image of the skies, the heavens being torn open, and then a dove descending, God's spirit in that dove, and a voice being heard. Such contrasting images draw us in. What we also are told is that the voice spoke very clearly, identifying Jesus as God's beloved Son. This marks the beginning of the Epiphany season, and when we come to the end of the season and are reading about the Mount of Transfiguration, the dove will descend again. God's voice will be heard again, identifying Jesus as his beloved Son, but also adding the admonition, "Listen to him. Listen to him." I couldn't help but wonder as I pondered the story of Jesus' baptism, when God speaks, what does it sound like? A mighty roaring wind? The still small voice that the prophet Elijah heard? Does it sound like utter silence? Perhaps God's voice sounds like John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." Maybe God's voice sounds like Jesus gently calling Jairus' 12-year-old daughter back to life. Or perhaps it sounds like Jesus reminding the woman caught in adultery that she has been forgiven and then urging her to go and sin no more. Or maybe God's voice sounds like Jesus on the cross asking God to forgive those who were crucifying him. God's voice can be heard in so many ways, in so many places. Are we listening for that voice? Because to whom we listen matters. There are all sorts of voices out there, prophetic voices, voices spewing hatred and evil, hopeful voices, voices filled with despair, angry voices, voices of wisdom and insight. Which voices do we pay attention to? The loudest ones? The ones that are most shocking? The ones that say what we want to hear and affirm our worldview? I've often said to folks that the louder you speak, the less I listen. I want to know who you listen to. Do you listen to the voices of Fox News, CNN, NPR, the network stations? When you listen, do you think about what you're hearing? Do you question its source? Do you wonder if it matches what God has taught us through Christ Jesus? If you're paying attention, you know that every time I preach, the prayer I offer before a sermon is a prayer in which I ask God to make sure that God's word is heard in the midst of my words. Because my words are empty if they are not filled with God's word. No human being, no group, no church, no institution has a handle on the whole truth. And the moment someone says they do, they need to be persons we are wary of. Who we listen to matters. What we do with our God-given voice matters. How we say what we say matters. How do you use your voice? Jesus used his voice to comfort the afflicted, to challenge would-be followers, to call out the corrupt and deceitful leaders of his day, to heal the sick, to offer hope to the hopeless, to forgive, to transform the world. And his words were always followed by actions. I found myself in recent days thinking about popular songs of the not-too-distant past that challenge us to use our voices and to use them well. What came to mind first was Sarah Bareilles' song entitled Brave. Among its lyrics are these words: say what you want to say. Let the words fall out. Don't run. Stop holding your tongue. Your history of silence won't do you any good. Let your words be anything but empty. Or I think of John Mayer's song entitled Say. Say what you need to say, even if your hands are shaking and your faith is broken. Or more recently, the words of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, often quoting Maggie Kuhn's words, speak your mind even if your voice shakes. This past week, I've watched the final episodes of Jeopardy! Hosted by Alex Trebek. And the producer of the show made the observation as Trebek, just days before his passing, was urging his listeners to come together, to work together, to help each other. The producer made the observation that Trebek had an inspiring voice. What about your voice? I think about the children in our neighborhood during this pandemic who have chosen to voice their voice in a very interesting and positive way. They've been writing sidewalk chalk messages on our sidewalk. The messages that were there just a week ago touched my heart deeply. As we rounded the corner with our dog for a walk, first I saw the message, treat others the way you want to be treated. I went a few blocks more and it was, don't let anybody tell you who you are. The next message I encountered, when you are kind to others, you help them grow. And the final message, mind you, these were written by fifth graders. I know the young girls who do this. The final message was, when we work together, we are stronger. Do not lose hope. Some of you may recall a number of years ago when our theme here at the church was St. John's, where everybody has a voice. I pray that is the case. I pray that each one of you listening feels that your voice is heard, because we live in a world where not all of the voices are heard. Voices are not heard depending upon one's status or lack thereof, depending upon one's gender or gender identity, skin color or ethnicity. Jesus spent his ministry here on earth expressing and demonstrating deep concern for the voiceless, giving them a voice, raising them up while bringing down those in places of power. I must tell you, my friends, that I pieced together this sermon before the horrific events of Wednesday unfolded in our nation's capital. On Thursday morning, I sat down at my desk and looked at the words again, wondering if I needed to change anything. And then I realized, now more than ever, these words are urgent and important. Who we listen to matters. How we use our God-given voice matters. And what we do to work with those who have no voice matters. It is always our choice. We get to decide how we will use the power we've been given. And we have power. And as always, God will be the judge. May we dare to use our voices well. May we dare to listen carefully for God's voice in the most unlikely places. And may we commit ourselves anew to being a voice to help those who have no voice. Amen.